Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on Monday, the 30th of April, the year 2012. Chef Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll learn about the Saturday's first annual Chicken Summit with guest clucker Darren Snyder. Ted Merrill will be here with highlights on Saturday's busing of the fleet. We'll talk to Elizabeth Clements about the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center event coming up this weekend. Ed Ryder's Almanac Bird Note Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. With the forecast for tonight, rain likely, low temperatures around 39 degrees with light winds. Forecast for Tuesday, rain likely with high temperatures around 51 degrees. Tuesday night, rain likely. Wednesday, looks like rain is likely with high temperatures around 40 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. President Obama announced Friday the appointment of Jody Gillette as Senior Policy Advisor for Native American Affairs as a member of the Domestic Policy Council. Gillette will advise the president on issues impacting Indian Country. She's a member of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. Gillette has worked in the administration in the Interior Department and prior to that was responsible for communications and interactions between tribal nations and the White House. The chief executive officer of the business arm of the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma is leaving his job. As KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports, the severance package is more than $2 million.
The Cherokee Nation Business's board of directors reached a separation agreement with its CEO, Dave Stewart. An announcement Friday said he will be paid $2.67 million under the terms of the deal, which takes effect immediately. Stewart told the Tulsa World newspaper the agreement was amicable and mutual. The business arm of the Cherokee Nation reported record profits of more than $87 million in 2010. Cherokee Nation Businesses owns companies in the gaming, hospitality, personnel services, distribution, manufacturing, telecommunications, and environmental services industries. A recent study released by the tribe estimated that Cherokee Nation Businesses contributes more than $1 billion in economic impact to the state of Oklahoma every year. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gortney in Oklahoma City.
The 2012 Miss Indian World was crowned over the weekend. Thousands of people cheered as winner Jessa Ray Growing Thunder was announced. The 22-year-old is from the Fort Peck Reservation in Montana. She will reign for 1 year, and her title will allow her to reach out to indigenous people across the country and around the world. Her top issue is cultural preservation. Growing Thunder says her grandmother and mother were inspirations growing up. She says they taught her about beading, quilling, and cultural survival.
I wake up every morning and I say my prayers. You know, I dance, I sing. You know, I'm going out into the Sundance Circle. I dance the jingle dress dance for a healing dance for my people. You know, I go to school so that I can better learn how to preserve our culture. You know, I'm majoring in Native American Indigenous Studies, so I want to learn that academic background so that I can use it with my traditional knowledge so that I can better represent my people from both sides. And I want that ability so that I can, you know, I'm always going to put my people first. You know, I'm a proud member of the Dakota Nakota Oyate, but more importantly, I'm a proud Indigenous woman.
Growing Thunder is a student at Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado. She plans to get a degree in museum studies. More than 24 Indigenous women competed for the crown in areas of tribal knowledge, dance ability, public speaking, and personality assessment. The winner was crowned at the Gathering of Nations powwow in Albuquerque, New Mexico. A Washington tribe receives Conservationist of the Year. The Lower Elwha-Klallam tribe received the award from the Society of Ecological Restoration's Northwest Chapter. The tribe is being recognized for its role in a dam removal. The award is given to a person or entity for efforts to preserve, protect, restore, or enhance environments necessary for healthy ecosystems. On this day in 1939, Dr. Alfonso Ortiz from Okeawinge Pueblo was born. Ortiz was raised by his grandparents who taught him the importance of his native language and culture. Ortiz earned a Ph.D. in anthropology from the University of Chicago. His work includes the book, The Tewa World, Space, Time, Being, and Becoming in a Pueblo Society. He was an advocate for Native American rights, education, and religious freedom. The Alfonso Ortiz Center for Intercultural Studies at the University of New Mexico was named in his honor in 2000, 3 years after his death. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Called on the class to spell a certain sort of a bird. The kind of bird it was a chicken, and they could not spell that word. So the teacher called on Ragtime Joe to spell that word for them. He did not hesitate a bit, and this is the way that it went.
C.
That's the way to begin.
A.
Well, that's the next letter in.
I.
That is the third.
C.
I'm a season of the bird.
K.
Let's fit in. I'm near to the end.
C-H-I-C-K-N. That is the way to spell chicken.
Arson Johnson gave a concert in the old schoolhouse one night. He hired a lot of fellers that could sing and could recite. But when they pulled the curtain back, everything went wrong, you know. Until the children loudly called that to hear from Ragtime Joe. Well, he sang a ragtime juking tune, but it did not go so well. He said, I went across on that, so I guess I'll have to spell. Then he told the audience he had composed this chicken song. And when he sang these words to them, you know, he took the house by storm.
C.
That's the way to begin.
A.
That's the next letter in.
I.
That is the third. I'm a season of the bird.
K.
Well, I'm a fitting in.
B.
Getting near to the end.
C-H-I-C-K-N.
Well, that is the way to spell chicken.
From Kathy Kallick. The time is 3:09, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First guest is here to tell us all about the Juneau Chicken Summit, the first annual one. Darren Snyder from the Cooperative Extension Service.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be here.
So are you ready for the Chicken Summit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're ready and getting more and more as each day goes by. It's coming up right here this coming weekend.
What is the Chicken Summit?
Well, it's essentially a gathering everybody together who cares about raising chickens, and especially in Juneau and southeast conditions, and trying to bring together people who are both experienced flock owners and managers. So that's anybody with a backyard coop on up to somebody with quite a few birds. And it's also for people who are just interested in it. And so we're bringing together all those folks along with our state vet, Bob Gerlach, is coming in, and we'll try and put on a good presentation for folks for the first part of the day on Saturday, Cluco de Mayo, May 5th, coming up here. That's going to be at the UAS campus.
So how many chicken farmers do you think are out there in Juneau?
Well, you know,
heard from them.
I've heard from quite a few. I'm guessing, somewhere between 50 and 100. That's my best guess, but I'd like to hear what other folks think on that at some point, it's because a lot of people are doing it and they just don't talk about it too much. And they just, but every time I hear about it, people are really, they enjoy it, and they enjoy their experience with the chickens. They like the fresh eggs. It's just a good experience for everybody involved.
And how many chickens do the chicken farmer own?
The city regs, the CBJ regulations are up to six without a permit, and that's under most of our zoning areas. So I was just talking with our nice folks with the city planning department last week, and they were sharing with me some of the specifics on it. And we can help you at the summit, at the chicken summit there, look up where your residence is and determine what your zoning is, and help you kind of figure out whether you're in the easy side of things, where you know you can have specifically six hens, no roosters. It's definitely part of the whole regulation thing is about being a good neighbor, and so we've recognized that a bunch of roosters crowing isn't probably going to work, so it's six hens is the general rule.
Maybe better than an alarm clock, though.
Yeah. As long as it's not at 3 a.m.
How did the idea for the chicken summit hatch?
I've been participating with the Extension Service for the past 3 or 4 years with our local food fair that's been put on over there at the Jack at the end of August every year. And each year they've had some chicken owners give presentations. Joy Lyon and Mark Wheeler have given presentations, and it's turned out to be standing room only. And so I definitely know that there's a lot of interest out there. And by bringing in our state vet, Bob Gerlach, he's going to be able to bring in kind of what I consider to be the next level of expertise for folks to be able to look at maybe what kind of breeds they're using, maybe if there's some flock management techniques for detecting if there's something wrong with your birds, if there's any disease or other management issues that you want to consider. He's got some presentations prepared for that. And as well, if there are areas where you want to would even consider to be selling eggs in the future, how you could handle your eggs properly. And that's such. Sorry.
Let's talk about chickens. It gets me all choked up, too.
Yeah.
So what else do you have cooked up?
Sorry, Jeff. That's the problem with the live air and a sore throat. But I'm hopefully not going to suffer all of us too much through this.
So what else do you have cooked up as far as the chicken events?
We've got a tour.
Some chicken flavored water. That's good.
It's a little. Yeah.
Thanks. That's very nice.
A little better than chicken. We got a berry going on here, but thanks. And our tour is going to be the afternoon activity. So we're going to have our lectures and an owners panel going on there at UAS at the lecture hall. On the Ok Bay campus for the morning, and then after that we'll have lunch there on campus, and then for the afternoon we're going to have the tour de coop. And the tour de coop is going to bring us from hen house to hen house, and we're going to travel downtown Douglas, downtown Juneau, in the valley, and eventually end up at Swampy Acres. And we're gonna be seeing how people are doing it, talk to each other about what hasn't worked as well as what has, how to protect your flock.
Seems like you're just scratching the surface as far as events go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that, and we're digging in a little bit. We definitely, and we do have a lot of puns that crop up around this topic.
I thought I had the bad ones.
Yes, indeed. There are plenty of them. We will have some special events there at the end of the day at Swampy Acres. besides taking a look at their facilities there. They have quite a few fowl, chickens amongst others there, and so we can see how they do theirs. As well, Swampy Acres is the local feed store, so we can take a look at what type of products they have there as far as nutrition for your birds, because there are differences when they're young chicks compared to when they're older birds, and we'll be talking about some of those issues and how you can manage them. And so, folks, this is a chance for you to really get a good taste of what it is to raise chickens in Juneau if you're considering it. It'll be a full day of fun. Folks are into the birds, and, whether you're into them as just a pet or as a companion, and folks do that.
Seems like you've got a lot of events going on. It's going from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 p.m. in the afternoon at the U.S. Library.
Yes, yeah, there's a lot going on there. But now it's a little bit difficult to interpret. Even though it says 9 to 5, we're only going to be on the U.S. campus from 9 to noon, and then registered folks are going to have lunch there. And then we'll head out on the tour for the entire afternoon and then end up at Swampy Acres. So maybe best if folks just get online to the Extension website, the Juneau Cooperative Extension website, or call us at our office, which is 796-6221, and we can definitely give you more information on the Juneau Chicken Summit 2012, and coming up here on Cluco de Mayo, May 5th.
Does it cost money to register?
Yeah, it's a mild $20 registration just to cover our costs. We've got our special guest speaker is being able to pay his own way, so that's saving us a lot of money.
And well, lunch is included now. I'm not going to ask you what you're serving for lunch, but I just have to.
Oh, yeah. We're going with a full barbecue chicken plan. Yeah, so that's going to be for lunch. And then in the afternoon, we're going to have an event there at Swampy Acres that's going to be a fundraiser for some of our other programs, which are the 4-H programs. So in the afternoon there at Swampy Acres, we're going to, besides touring the area there a little bit, we're also going to have, for those of you folks who do raise chickens, and sometimes you end up with a male chicken, and so what can you do with a male chicken in Juneau? Well, you can eat it. And so in order to go from a rooster to something that's on your plate, you got to go through the butchering process. And a lot of people wonder, what that's all about. They may be familiar with processing fish or processing deer, but when you're processing a chicken, you're butchering a chicken, it's a little bit of a different scene. And so we will have a demonstration there at Swampy Acres. One of our primary 4-H leaders of years ongoing now, Wendy Smith, will be providing that demonstration. And so, and we will have folks along with Wendy, who are food safety specialists, our partners with Search, with Carrie Natwick, is offered to come and share a little bit about food safety, which is one of the primary considerations when you're dealing with chicken and raw meats of any sorts.
Imagine your tour to cluck here, you could coop yourselves, including a variety of different styles of coops. Is there a basic style, or is there the bells and whistles style?
There are variations. But I think that people will be interested in finding out, what's the minimum you can do to have a coop that's going to keep your hens healthy and happy, and what more you could do. There are ways, there are mistakes to be had that a few of my friends have gone through, as far as like where the chickens like to roost, how they like to roost, how is it configured as far as floor space, how they're going to spend their days ranging around, if there's going to be any yard. There are some considerations to take.
And bears, you have to watch out for bears as well.
Bears, weasels, eagles, ravens, dogs, the list goes on. Yeah, so we do need to protect them.
I've been talking to Darren Snyder about the first annual chicken, Juneau Chicken Summit, this Saturday, May 5th from 9 to 5 p.m. It starts at the U.S. Library and goes to Swampy Acres as well as other places around town. And where can people go to get more information?
Please call 796-6221, Juneau Chicken Summit 2012.
Yeah, all right, Darren, anything like that I might have forgotten to ask?
Nope, just thanks. Thanks so much for your show.
There ain't nobody here but us chickens. yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep and Eva spin and gobble, 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 gobble with your chin. Try it, chicken. Bonk, bonk, bonk,
there ain't nobody here but us. Bonk,
bonk, bonk, bonk, bonk,
there ain't nobody here
bonk,
at all.
Bonk, bonk, bonk,
calm yourself.
Bonk, bonk, bonk.
Stop that fuss.
Bonk, 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 bonk.
There ain't nobody
we
here but us.
Trying to sleep and Eva spin and gobble, 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 gobble with your chin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We've got things to do. We've got eggs to lay. We got worms to dig, ground to scratch. Takes a lot of sitting, getting chickens to hatch. There ain't nobody having us chicken.
Is Bird Note. When it comes to goofy bird names, there's something irresistible about Yellow-Bellied Sapsucker. But, funny name and all, the Yellow-Bellied Sapsucker is a real bird. And its story tells us something fascinating about the timing of migration. Sapsuckers are a specialized group of woodpeckers that notch rows of small holes in trees, causing sap to well out. The birds eat the sugary liquid flowing from these sap wells. Yellow-bellied sapsuckers, which winter in the southeastern U.S. and Central America, migrate north in early spring at the time when, as the saying goes, the sap is running. Now, tree sap is similar in sugar content to the nectar hummingbirds take from flowers. And it's no coincidence that just as the sapsuckers get their sap wells flowing in spring, ruby-throated hummingbirds come migrating north. The hummingbirds rely on the bounty of sap released by sapsuckers. The hummers are so attuned to the sapsuckers that they will nest close by active sap wells and even follow their benefactors as they fly from one sap tree to another. A remarkable connection between two very different birds, with a migratory pattern all set in motion by warming days, which get the sap running. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Time is 3:24 and you are tuned in to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Ted Merrily, the board member of the Blessing of the Fleet organization. You can tell us about this Saturday's event. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. Ted Merrill, thank you very much for being on the station with us today.
Thank you.
So could you give us a history of the memorial and how it came about, please?
What?
Can you give me a history of the memorial and how it came about?
Sure. It was established in 1993. Three is a non-profit corporation, and was constructed 93 to 2000, and was financed by funds from the borough to get us started, and many contributors and individuals have donated work and money to the memorial fund. first blessing ceremony was in May of 2000 and has been continued each spring on the first Saturday of May when the parade of commercial fishing boats goes by the memorial and are individually blessed by clergymen. This year's, I should mention ahead of time before we run out of time here, this year's memorial service could be the last because the memorial board and supporters have been trying to get another spot on the waterfront for the memorial because the borough is planning to build two huge floating docks which will block access to the memorial for the boats to go by. So people should, if they're interested in the memorial at all, they should come to this year's program to see what it's all about. We're hopeful that some kind of accommodation can be reached with the borough to find an alternate site that would work, but so far we've been unsuccessful. Let's see, what else would be of interest here?
About how many names are on it?
On the name, it has, right now, let's see. Looking at my notes here. I'll come to it here, I guess, but...
It's quite all right.
Right now, talking about the present memorial service, it occurs once every year on the first Saturday in May, and it lasts only just exactly 1 hour. It's from 10 o'clock and it's done promptly at 11. Right now, about the value of the commercial of the fleet to fishing of the memorial to fishing vessels, there are 748 commercial fishing vessels homeported in Juneau, and in addition, 438 seafood processing jobs. income to the borough economy is about $4 million a year in wages just for the processing. And the wholesale value of the seafood catch is about $39 million a year. And there are 730 skippers and crew who fished in Juneau in 2010. And last there, in 2010, there were 16 million pounds of seafood landed in Juneau with a wholesale value of almost $24 million. So it's has been ever since the formation of the city of Juneau back at the turn of the century. It's been one of the main foundations of Juneau's economy, and a significant portion of the population here is involved in fishing one way or another. One of the things that people are interested in hearing if they don't know about it is the criteria for engraving a name on the memorial. The person has to have been a licensed commercial fisherman and or crewman and a genuine fisherman. 38 of the, there are 185 names on the memorial right now, and 38 of these died and were lost at sea, and those names of fishermen that have perished at sea, there are 38 of them, and they're indicated by a star on the granite plaque by their names on the memorial. Hey, what else would you like to know? Can you give me any leads?
I just want to talk a little bit about the spirit there. It's a very emotional experience there for everybody.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a very impressive, and even not just on the day of the memorial, but throughout the year, people will come there who have relatives and whose names are in the memorial. It serves in the same functions as a cemetery would, but more for public view. And I guess I should tell you how to get there and where it is and so on. It's on the waterfront of the Twisted Fish restaurant, and there is parking for the restaurant and also in the tram area, but it's pretty limited. And the featured speaker this year, I won't go into all the other.
Actually, we have time. We can go ahead and talk about the whole program.
Sure. it's not about 20 boats. Around 20 boats a year come past the memorial for the blessing of the fleet, and they parade by the blessing monument pretty close, and each one is individually blessed by a pastor. And this year, I don't want to forget to mention that the featured speaker is Governor Parnell, which indicates the importance that the memorial and fishing industry to City of Juneau warrants a lot of attention. The following the one-hour program on Saturday, as usual, the Twisted Fish restaurant has offered a complimentary reception at no cost in the Twisted Fish restaurant immediately following the ceremony, and that's a really, really plus. This has been done for years, and it's you can credit particularly the let's see, where she is. Risha Wilson, the manager or owner of the Twisted Fish restaurant. She's made that contribution, I think, every year in the 25 years or so of the monument's existence. The as usual, the Coast Guard is providing an important part of the program. They open things with a presentation of colors, and they, one of their boats going by the monument. The Alaska flag song, accompanied by Samantha Kostenko and accompanied by Rebecca Ricker, will provide the music. And the lead vessel in the parade of boats past the memorial always puts a floral wreath floating on the water as it comes in past near shore past the people in the monument. And that'll be done this year by let's see.
Kaya?
Kaya, yeah. Well, the vessel Kaya with Captain Randy Beeson. And the first ceremony and the first wreath back in the early 90s was by the Mongoose, which is, I think, vessel Mongoose, which I think has been in every blessing ceremony since its inception. And
and that'll be followed by the governor making his statement.
Beg your pardon?
No, actually, that'll be preceded by the governor's talking and then the placing of the wreath.
I know the order of the program, which I'm looking at here, is, and I won't go into all the details, but there's a Coast Guard introduction of a boat going by, and the Girl Scout troop number 4026 lead the Pledge of Allegiance. The invocation will be by Pastor Sam Dalen, River of Glory Church, and then welcome by Bruce Wererick. And I should mention that he deserves a tremendous amount of credit for having the instigating the idea of building a memorial back in its earliest days, and has been the coordinator and organizer of the annual blessing every year since then, which is in early 2000. And going on anyway, the music will be provided this year by Samantha Kostenko, with the Alaska flag song, accompanied by Rebecca Ricker, and then the speaker, Governor Parnell, will be next, and then the placing of the wreath on the water, and followed that by, or during that, a Juno pipe band playing Amazing Grace and Hector the Hero and other tunes, and the blessing of the fleet. The boats will pray by one at a time, and each one is individually blessed, and they're connected with the shore by Marine Radio Channel 10 so that they can stay coordinated. And each vessel is announced by name as it goes by, and the pastor blesses the vessel, wishing for good safety and good fishing in the coming year. Diamond Davis and Pastor Sam Dillon will do the dedication, and every year someone reads all the names on the monument, which is, I think I said 160 or something like that now, individually. And then the benediction, that's followed by the benediction by Sam Dillon. And the blessing ceremony, as always, has been broadcast on boat channel 10, so that the shore portion of the program and the vessel parade can stay coordinated. And there's also a loudspeaker at the monument, so that the crowd can hear what's going on.
And talk about the names that are going to be added.
Yes, the names this year, we aren't able to name. It costs $600 to have a professional granite engraver come up from Seattle, and so sometimes we have to save up a name or two to warrant the expense of sending them up here. But this year we have four names on it: G. Hunter Walling, Bob Pasquan, Bill Respotnik, Bruce Freitag, and John Pugh Jr. That's about the most we've had, I think, since I've been associated with the monument.
Talking with Ted Merrill about the Blessing of the Fleet, which is going on this Saturday, May 5th, at 10 o'clock in the morning, right by the Twisted Fish at the Alaska Commercial Fisherman's Memorial. Ted, thank you for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Well, I'd like to reemphasize what I said right at the beginning, that my monument is in real danger of being sort of abandoned. We've gone to all the many board meetings of different boards, the Parks Board and others, and made a presentation to the Borough Assembly about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they essentially said they weren't interested in supporting the memorial and doing anything about getting another location that would make it possible to have the blessing of the fleet. It can't be done once they put in these two enormous floating docks for two more tour ships. In fact, at high tide, there'd be a wall of dock between the memorial and the sky. So all you see is a big side of a big barge in a tour ship. So in order to have it in its present form with the actual blessing of the fleet, we have to find a better spot. One spot that we thought we had approval to move to would be down where at the angle at the end of the by the Waterford Park, which has now been sort of disbanded. But anyway, that's really the only site. That general site is the only place left on the whole waterfront that can't be accessed by fishing boats or isn't owned or occupied by somebody else. So we thought we had that approved, but it turned out we didn't.
I've been talking to Ted Merrill about the Blessing of the Fleet in the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Memorial in Juneau. And this is, if you have questions about that, you can call it, find somebody to talk to there. It's happening this Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Ted, thank you very much for being in the station with us today, and have a meaningful blessing.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 30th of April, 2012. It was on this date, 1859, Charles Dickens's A Tale of Two Cities was first published. It came out in serial form in a new weekly magazine all the year round, which Dickens himself had founded. And A Tale of Two Cities was on the front page of the first issue. Thanks to his popularity, the first issue sold 125,000 copies. The magazine was successful from the start. Dickens's investment paid off, and he serialized Great Expectations in the magazine 1 year later. A Tale of Two Cities, which begins, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, it was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness, it was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity, it was the season of light, it was the season of darkness, it was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven, we were all going direct the other way." It's the birthday of Annie Dillard, born in Pittsburgh, 1945. She wrote her master's thesis on Thoreau's Walden. Then she moved to a cabin in the Blue Ridge Mountains and kept a daily journal of her observations of nature, her thoughts about religion, wrote in old notebooks and on 4x6-inch index cards. And her book, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, published in 1974, won the Pulitzer Prize for nonfiction. She was only 29 years old. Her most recent work is a novel, The May Trees. And it was on this date in 1952 Anne Frank's diary was first published in English, Diary of a Young Girl. Came out in Dutch, 1947, under the title The Secret Annex. Anne Frank died of typhus in the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp about 2 weeks before the camps were liberated in 1945. After the war, her father, Otto Frank, was given the diary. He wasn't able to read it for a while. It was too painful. But when he did, he saw that his daughter meant for the diary to be published. There were two versions of the diary, the A version, made up of journal entries, and the B version, rewritten by Anne herself. Her father edited the two together. He left out 5 pages of her original A version, pages in which she described the progress of her sexual development and ranted about her mother. Those pages were restored in the definitive edition, which was published in 1995. Here's our poem for today, which is an excerpt from Anne Frank's diary for Wednesday, February 23rd, 1944. "As long as this exists, I thought, and I may live to see it, the sunshine, the cloudless skies, while this lasts, I cannot be unhappy. The best remedy for those who are afraid, lonely, or unhappy is to go outside, somewhere where they can be quite alone with the heavens, nature, and God, because only then does one feel that all is as it should be, and that God wishes to see people happy amidst the simple beauty of nature. As long as this exists, and it certainly always will, I know that then there will always be comfort for every sorrow, whatever the circumstances may be, and I firmly believe that nature brings solace in all troubles." From Anne Frank, The Diary of a Young Girl, published by Bantam Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by Constant Contact, now offering social campaigns, a new tool designed to help small businesses turn fans into customers. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. And by Reputation.com, offering patented protection for the online reputations of professionals and businesses, now including reputation assessments. Learn more at reputation.com. produced by Kathy Roach, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:45, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest is Elizabeth Clement with the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center here to talk about a fundraiser they have coming up this weekend. Elizabeth, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
So tell us about the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center here, how it got started, and maybe its mission statement.
Sure. Well, the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center is quickly becoming pretty much a full-service birthing center and primary health care center for Juneau, and reaching out as much as we can to other communities in Southeast Alaska. It started many decades ago, actually, with the work of a home midwife here in Juneau, a home birth midwife named Kay Connie, who over the years saw such a need in our community that she continued doing what she was doing, helping women and families expand in the comfort of their own homes and have their children in a way that was empowering to them and best that they could do. When she saw there was a greater need, she saw she needed a business plan, and they formed a nonprofit back in the late 1990s. I believe it was in 1996 that they incorporated, and in 1998, 2 years later, opened in a facility just a little down the road from the hospital, and since then have been providing in their own facility a full range of services that's been growing over the last few years. 10 years later from when they opened in the first facility, in 2008, they got their own place. A beautiful, large facility out on Salmon Creek Lane, also near the hospital, that has wonderful spaces for giving birth, for doctor visits, for community meetings. It's really an open-door place where everyone is welcome.
And you chose to give birth to your child there?
I did.
Why?
It was a very personal choice for me. I felt that I was comfortable with the birthing process as a normal, natural, human physical function and capability. I really appreciated the caring, very competent quality care and support that I was given by the midwives at the birth center. They use the midwifery model of care, which is a different approach than the typical medical model. It's very personal, it's very accepting, and it's very empowering, I think, not only to women who are giving birth, but to their entire families who are allowed to be as involved as they want to be. I actually gave birth to my son just as they were moving into their new facility in July of 2008. He just happened to be the first baby born there, and I remember when I was walking in, getting fairly deep into labor at that point, I remember seeing Kay, the original midwife who has led the entire thing with the birth center over the years, unpacking boxes in the hallway. So they've been at their new facility since 2008 and doing great things for Juneau families.
Just joining us is Jan Witherdale, also on the board. Jan, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell us about the Family Birth Center from your experiences?
Well, I come at this slightly different because my children are older, and so I didn't have the benefit of the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center when my children were born. So they were born at home, but Kay was one of my midwives, and that's still an option too. They will support you if you choose to have a home birth or in the facility. So it's great to have those choices, and of course, wonderful to have the hospital here as you know, as needed, because of course the birth center only deals with low risk births, healthy births.
And speaking of the Family Health and Birth Center, you're having a fundraiser this weekend.
We are having it's called Spring into Summer, and it's at our facility on Salmon Creek Lane, which is May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. It's also known as apparently the International Day of the Midwife, and it is from 5 to 9 p.m.
And what's on the agenda for that event?
Well, we have lots of things going on. We have a beautiful spread of food. Dinner will be served. That's part of the cost of admission. And it will be catered by the Twin Lakes Cafe. And there will be a live auction for desserts, and you can buy it right there and eat them, or you can take them home. And there'll also be a silent auction with some wonderful goods that have been donated by our community members.
How can people get tickets?
You can get tickets from any of the board members if you happen to know them. If you don't, you're always welcome to just show up the door at 5 o'clock or any time after on Saturday. If it's important to you to have that ticket before you come, you can also feel free to call the birth center. Their number is 586-1203, and the staff there can also help you arrange that.
And Jen, what is the difference between a midwife and a regular hospital birth?
Well, the midwifery model is, a midwife is certified or registered, a registered nurse midwife or a certified direct-to-entry midwife, and they monitor the birth through, the prenatal appointments up to the birth, through the birth, and 6 weeks after the birth. And they're constantly monitoring for to make sure that the baby's safe and on track and making sure it's continuing to be a low-risk birth.
I've been talking to Jen Weatherdale and Elizabeth Clement about the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center. They're having a fundraiser this weekend. Give us details on the fundraiser for people who weren't paying attention.
Well, the fundraiser, again, is this Saturday, May 5th. Cinco de Mayo, as Jan said. It's also Juneau Appreciation Day, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And so this might be a good way to wrap up the day for people who are out enjoying the town with their families or just on their own. It's at the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center, which is at 1601 Salmon Creek Lane. That's just down the road from the hospital, right by Search and Valley Medical also. Admission is $20 for an adult to get in. Kids under 12 are free, so bring the whole family. You can contact the birth center for more information if you'd like at 586-1203, and we'll be there ready to have a good time.
And the only other thing I wanted to add, we've been talking a lot about midwifery, which is a large part of the birth center, but it's also the family health and birth center, and we do have a full a doctor on staff, and it's from birth to throughout your life. You can get health care services there. And part of the, this is a fundraiser for part of the funds that we raise will go into donated health care for people who can't afford health care. Our doors are open to everyone.
That's true, and I think that's one of the most wonderful things about the birth center is it's very welcoming of everyone in the community, everyone who needs the medical help of the birth center, and everyone who is giving birth who is on a safe track in their pregnancy, who can safely give birth in a low technological environment, is welcome there. And if cost is a barrier, they will work with you.
All right, thank you so much for coming down. And the phone number again for people who need it?
586-1203.
Again, Rather Dale and Elizabeth Clement, thank you so much for coming by the station.
Thank you.
The Juneau World Affairs Council presents Kathy Colvin, CEO of the UN Foundation, this Wednesday, May 2nd, 5 p.m. in the KTOO studio. Her topic will be Alaska and the UN, more connected than you know. This event is possible with support from Sea Alaska, Wassman & Associates, GCI, Greens Creek, and Kensington. That's this Wednesday, 5 p.m. in the KTOO studio. Admission is free. More details at jwac.org.
The Hidden World of Girls, a new radio special from the Kitchen Sisters and NPR. Coming of age, rituals and rites of passage, secret identities. Stories about women who crossed a line, blazed a trail, changed the tide. I'm your host, Tina Fey. Join us.
Tune in this Wednesday night at 8 on KTOO News.
A rooster, and the rooster pleased me. I fed my rooster by the green apple tree. My old rooster went cock a doodle doo dee doodle dee doodle dee doodle dee doo. I had a piggy, and the piggy pleased me. I fed my piggy by the green apple tree.
My old piggy went. My old rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo-dee-doodle-dee-doodle-dee-doo-dee-doo. I had a cow and the cow pleased me. I fed my cow by the green apple tree. My old cow went meh. My old piggy went. My old rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo-dee-doodle-dee-doodle-dee-doodle-dee-doo. I had a horsey and the horsey pleased me. I fed my horsey by the green apple tree. My old horsey went. My old cow went. My old piggy went. My old rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo-dee-doodle-dee-doodle-dee-doodle-dee-doo. I had a chicken and the chicken pleased me. I fed my chicken by the green apple tree. My old chicken went kabak-kabak-kabak-kabak. My old horsey went. My old cow went. My old piggy went. My old rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo-dee-doodle-dee-doodle-dee-doodle-dee-doo. I had a doggy and the doggy pleased me. I fed my doggy by the green apple tree. My old doggy went. My old chicken went kabak-kabak-kabak. My old horsey went. My old cow went. My old piggy went. My old rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo-dee-doodle-dee-doodle-dee-doodle-dee-doo.
You are tuned to KTUO in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tune to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Swartz Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1, K220 BT Sarasuna at 91.9. An excursion inland and icy strait, you can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9. Also online, www.ktuo.org. Tomorrow at 3 in June afternoon, Pat Moore will be your host. He'll talk with Kevin Sweeney, Wednesday's featured speaker at the Pillars of America. Sarah Lewis will be here to talk about slow food. Eric Lise Tomlinson will be here to highlight her art show opening this Friday at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. Also meet students involved in the Brewers Urban Rural Exchange Program. At Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, Music and More tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon.
I fed my sweet little baby by the green apple. My cute pink, powdery, soft little baby went. Wah! Wah! My old sheep went meh, meh. My old doggy went woo, woo, woo. My old chicken went kabak, kabak, blah, blah, blah. My old horsey went. My old cow went meh. My old piggy went. My old rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo-dee, doodle-dee, doodle-dee, a doodle-dee, doodle.
There'll be a hot time in old Juneau Town when Juneau Jazz and Classics presents the Hot Club of Cowtown, May 6th at Hope Hall. This old-fashioned western swing and jazz trio has been known to have even the most timid audiences on its feet with its combination of nostalgic western swing with big band vocals and a bit of jazz. Tickets are available at jazzandclassics.org, Hearthside Books, or at the Jack for the Hot Club of Cowtown during Juneau Jazz and Classics. Music, magic, don't miss it.
It is just about 4 o'clock. You are tuned in to KTUO News in Juneau. Weather forecast for today, a little bit of rain. High temperatures around 50 degrees. Forecast for Tuesday. Tuesday night rain. Low temperatures around 38 degrees. Wednesday rain likely with high temperatures around 50 degrees. Next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon Day, and have a great evening and tomorrow.